Paul Meacham Jr.
Leonard Wood was a very successful American soldier. He began his military career with Teddy Roosevelt in 1898 and went on to become the Governor General of the Philippine Islands. The story is told that while visiting the King of France, the King invited him to return the following day for dinner. Upon arriving at the palace, the King is reported to have said, "Why, Sir Leonard, I didn't expect to see you. Why are you here?" "Did not your Majesty invite me to dine?" replied the surprised visitor. "Well, yes," replied the King, "but you did not answer my invitation." To which Sir Leonard Wood replied, "A king's invitation is never to be answered, but to be obeyed." What is it that produces within a man such a strong willingness to obey another? We noticed at the beginning of the study that the secret of living is bearing fruit. No one is truly alive in a spiritual sense, unless he's productive, producing fruit, specifically the fruit of the Master. But the secret to bearing fruit is abiding in Christ, for in our text we find that if we are not abiding in Him, we cannot bear fruit. It's simply impossible. Therefore, we must abide in Christ to bear that fruit, to be alive. But the secret of abiding in Christ is obeying His Word. We can't really say that we're in Christ, truthfully, unless we are obedient to His Word. So we obey in order to abide in Him, and we abide in Him in order to produce fruit, so that we might be truly, spiritually alive. And today we continue our study by noticing that the secret of obeying is loving. We're moving on now in our study from some of the things that we actually do to the motivation behind them. And we find today that the key motivation in obeying Christ is that of loving Him. Well, it's not the only motivation a person might have, but it is the best. Someone might obey Christ simply out of fear. There is a sense in which we should be afraid. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, beginning in verse 13, says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." We should have a reverence for God, that kind of fear that causes us to obey Him and keep His commandments. But even if we don't have a reverence for Him, there should be a certain fear knowing that there is a day of judgment coming. The writer of the book of Hebrews tells us in chapter 12, beginning in verse 28, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." This shows us both aspects, both the reverence for God in His power and majesty, and a fear of Him because of what will happen in judgment if we are consumed by Him, because it will not be an end to our existence, but rather an eternal separation from Him in a devil's hell. But fear is not the only motivation that a person might have in obeying God. It's also not the best motivation a person might have. It's been my experience that a person might be afraid of something, but by constant exposure to that fear, he can become accustomed to it. And by becoming accustomed to it, he then will lose that fear of it, and by losing his fear of it, he will go on and do what he wants to do anyway. There are those who are not afraid of God, not in the sense that they do something because they're afraid of the consequences, but still do not obey out of love. We consider these to be those who obey out of selfishness. They obey not because they feel like they have to, but rather because they feel like they need to in order to obtain something. It's possible that there was a selfish motive behind Peter's statement in Matthew 19. Here Jesus had talked about the fact that we need to turn our back on the things of this world, that we need to commit ourselves to Him rather than holding on to these things that will be left behind. Peter answered and said unto him in verse 27, "See, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?" It's very possible that that was a selfish statement, that Peter wanted to know what his reward would be for having given up the things that he gave up. Well, the Bible does teach that there are rewards for the disciple of Christ. We have rewards here on earth and in heaven above. Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 29, Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecutions, and in the age to come eternal life. Jesus teaches that there are blessings, there are great rewards here, but they all come with a degree of persecution. There is, however, a reward that'll come in the end, in the next life, and it's the reward of eternal life itself. And of course, there is no persecution attached to that. We need to understand, though, that even though some might obey out of a selfish motive, this is not the purest and the truest motive that we should have. Philippians 2, beginning in verse 3, teaches against selfishness by saying, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others." We need to understand that although some might obey, at least on the surface, out of a selfish motive, that's not a motive that will last. If someone might convince them it would be to their benefit to do wrong, they will do so because they're just obeying out of a selfish motive. The truest motive of all, of course, is love. It's not obeying because we need to. It's not obeying because we have to, but rather it's obeying because we want to. That is what love motivates us to do. The secret to obeying God is loving Him. Love is one of those three things that Paul told the Corinthians abides forever. 1 Corinthians 13:13, "And now abides faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." And of course, we also see that the Bible clearly ties love and obedience together. Not only is love the proper motivation, but you can't really have love without obedience and obedience without love. In 1 John 5, beginning in verse 2, it says, "But this we know, that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." The fact that God gave man a law, and a law that is not a burdensome law, is a sign of His love for us. When we keep that law and do what He says, that is a demonstration of our love for the Father. But why is love the best motive? We noticed it's not the only motive, but why is it the best one? Love is the best motive because it always brings about the best gifts. It was love that sent Jesus to the earth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15, Paul wrote, "Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift." That gift, according to John 3 and verse 16, is a product of the Father's love for us. It was love that sent Jesus to the cross and kept Him there through great agony for our benefit. In John 10, beginning in verse 17, Jesus said He had the power to lay His life down and to take it up again. No one took His life from Him on the cross. He wasn't overpowered and overwhelmed. He laid down His life willingly for you and for me. We need to understand that it is only when we truly love God, love Him completely, and obey Him because we want to do what He says, that we will have that full commitment to Him. There are many who pull back from that. There are many who see that as too great a sacrifice to be made. But I want you to consider for a moment the sacrifice that Jesus made. Considering the great love that He showed toward man by dying for us on the cross, is there any sacrifice that we could make that would be too great? The answer, of course, is no. Jesus and the life that He lived, the death that He died, and the kingdom that He now reigns over are worthy of all our sacrifice, the very best that we have to give our complete self in humble, loving obedience toward Him. The key to being obedient to Christ is loving Him. Now, there are very few lessons about obedience. You probably hear many lessons on the love of God, but you don't hear that many lessons on obedience to God. It's just not as nice to talk about. It's very nice to hear that God loves us, but it's not so pleasant to hear that we must respond to that love in obedience. I'd like for you to remember two verses. They're very easy to remember. John chapter 14 and verse 15, and John chapter 15 and verse 14. John 14 and verse 15 says, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." Jesus ties that love and obedience together in that verse. And in John chapter 15 and verse 14, part of our text for this study, he says, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." Jesus has taken the two and tied them together. He says it's impossible to be my friend. It's impossible to truly love me if you will not keep my commandments. And as we've learned today, it's not really possible for us to give full obedience, a full commitment to Him, unless it is motivated out of our love for Him. Let me encourage you to study your Bible, to learn about God, know what you should do, and then have the commitment to Him to do it.